Also want to remind you that we are reachable when you want to contact us. A lot of people send email messages. And you can reach me, Charlie at WSGW.com. That's with the IE on Charlie. Dave at WSGW.com. Pat, when he's here, Pat at WSGW.com. As Mike did. Mike reached out to me this morning. Heard our conversation last hour. We were talking, we were kind of rejoicing and reliving the weekend highlight of Miguel Cabrera's 3,000th hit.
We and thousands of others celebrating that.
Yeah. A lot of people having a good time with that. And we made reference to, why don't we just put him in the Hall of Fame right now?
Right.
You know, we know he's going to get there, so just wanted to play out the last couple of years of his career as a Hall of Famer. Wouldn't that be cool? They don't do that. You have to be retired, and then you get in. And so Mike sent me a message and said, do you think, based on Cabrera's career, that he'll be the first unanimous choice for baseball's Hall of Fame?
Oh, well, that would be nice, wouldn't it?
It would be.
Seems appropriate, but there's usually a stick in the mud out there when it comes to the voting and the sports writers.
Which reminded me that there actually was a unanimous choice just a couple of years ago. It was when Mariano Rivera, the great reliever of the New York Yankees, got in, getting 100% of the votes. But he was the first. But what you just said, Dave, is what reminded me that he should be. Mm-hmm. If there ever is a candidate or was a candidate, and Miguel's not the only one, there should have been any number of unanimous choices for baseball's Hall of Fame, but yet, because some stick in the mug, because some sports writer, I'd have to look it up and see if I even remember the stories correctly. I think I heard it was like years ago that they thought that nobody was worthy of being perfect getting into the Hall of Fame, so there's always going to be a sports writer or two holding out. My theory always was, well, what happens if every sports writer thought that? Well, we can't let him be perfect, so I won't vote for him.
He wouldn't have a Hall of Fame.
And then everyone else didn't do the same thing. Yeah. What's wrong with recognizing the accomplishments that certain people deserve to be in there unanimously?
Mm-hmm. For their contributions to the game and to the fans.
You look like a guy like, so I went online just to verify what I was talking about. And it did remind me, like Derek Jeter, who should have been unanimous, he missed by one vote because one person didn't vote for him. Ken Griffey Jr. should have been unanimous, but he missed by three votes. Even going back to Ty Cobb, original member of the Hall of Fame, four people didn't vote for Ty
Cobb.
I don't even have a reference here on Babe Ruth. They just gave me the top 10 Hall of Famers of highest percentage. Mm-hmm. And Ruth doesn't even, Hank Aaron, but he was nine votes short. So there have been worthy candidates, but because of these so-called sports writers who always thought
these authorities who have never excelled at the game themselves.
So how do you not say that Miguel Cabrera is not a unanimous choice for the Hall of Fame? To me, if you are saying that, then somebody needs to strip you of your voting capabilities. And this is not like some kind of political vote where... having said that, we all know the politics that plays in everything, but that's another story. But, this is not a candidate. This is a person based on factual information of a career that he had. And if you can't look at the statistics and what he did in his career and not say that he's a Hall of Famer, then obviously you're just not worthy of making a vote, in my opinion, anyway.
Yeah, I think you're right.
And, again, I say for the others that should have got in unanimously, and they never did so.
Now, can they get in while they're still active, while they're still playing?
No, they think they have to be retired 5 years,
5 years.
I think that's
okay.
What it is, something like that. Right. Yeah, but... there was an exception. I think it was Roberto Clemente was the exception because of his death that occurred on that humanitarian mission. He was voted in immediately. But this also triggered so many things. This triggered something that occurred also that we heard of over the weekend from the NBA, that the Rookie of the Year votes came out. And our Pistons' Cade Cunningham was up for Rookie of the Year.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he didn't win. He came in third. Scotty Barnes of the Toronto Raptors came in first, and the Cleveland Cavaliers' Evan Mobley came in second. And in fact, it was the closest vote ever, if I'm not mistaken. Just 15 points separated the two.
Mm.
And then I was looking because somebody made a reference about Cade Cunningham, and I couldn't believe it. For all intents and purposes, again, this goes back to there were 100 votes for Rookie of the Year. Three people left Cade Cunningham off their ballots.
Really?
Not didn't vote him like second or third or fourth.
Left him right off.
Left him off. Mm. How do you consciously do that? What is your intent? What is your reasoning? You don't have. There is no reasoning by all accounts. I'm not saying he should have won, but he should not have been left off of three ballots. The guy who came in second was even left off a ballot himself. How do you do that? Again, if you're the person who has these votes here, well, you know, they have.
Got to wonder about the biases and things that come into play there.
So take your biases out of whatever it might have been or whatever your reasonings were, and just look at what statistically happened. If he's recognized by everybody else of being worthy on a ballot, then it should have been in your ballot too, and if he wasn't. Dare I digress even further?
Sure. You're this far. I mean, you know.
Might as well take it all the way. Michigan football, 1997. The undefeated season, Lloyd Carr coaching, the win in the Rose Bowl. Going into the game, both Michigan and Nebraska were undefeated, but Michigan was ahead of Nebraska in the polls.
Mm-hmm.
Michigan wins the Rose Bowl, and Nebraska, it won its bowl game too. But everyone figured, well, Michigan went into the game on top of Nebraska. That's the way, you know, it was going to be tough, but even though both teams were undefeated, Michigan went in, won its game, should have been the national champion.
Mm-hmm.
Did win the Associated Press National Championship, but in the coaches' poll, Nebraska leapfrogged Michigan to split the national championship. And as Lloyd Carr said, I had to get the story out to remind myself as the way it turned out. It was explained to me, this is Lloyd Carr talking, it was explained to me that we lost the coaches' poll because one coach voted us fourth. Two other coaches voted us third. An undefeated team.
Yeah.
If not voting for them first, at least they deserve to be voted second.
You would think.
Fourth, third. So, anyway, there's some coaches that don't have consciousness. But
somebody had a grudge.
Yeah. So, anyway, now thanks to Mike for asking about Miguel Cabrera being unanimous. It just triggered a lot of things for me. More than I probably should have. I digress. It is 7:50 on WSGW. Heck, let's just dispense with the voting for Miguel Cabrera by acclamation. That wouldn't be appropriate.